Good morning, everyone. I've called this Are Your Talents Rusty? And the reason I've done that is because I was struck by something that Ian said a few weeks ago when he was talking about his singing voice feeling a bit rusty through lack of use during lockdown. Now, we continued talking about this in our worship meeting in January, and I must admit, I felt the same way about my singing voice feeling very rusty. And I hadn't used it really for quite a number of months while we've been in lockdown, and I've been happy to just listen to the worship songs that we've been using on a Sunday morning. And I know that worship comes from the heart, and we can just as easily worship in our hearts rather than sing out loud. But there is something really powerful about using our voices to sing our praises out loud to God. It releases something within us that makes every part of our bodies reach out to God in worship. And this got me thinking, if God gives us various talents and abilities to use, what is the price we pay for not using them? And to answer this, we're going to look at the parable of the talents this morning. And this morning, I'm going to read this from the Message version. And it can be found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one, he gave £5,000, to another, £2,000, and to a third one, £1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with the single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given £5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commended him. Good work, you did your job well. From now on, be my partner. The servant with the 2,000 showed how he also had doubled his master's investment, and his master commended him. Good work, you did your job well. From now on, be my partner. The servant given 1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, but you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last penny. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into utter darkness. Now, this parable has been spoken about many times over the years. And usually we compare the differences between the three servants. We tend to look at the way the first two servants used their gifts to multiply what they started out with. And in turn, God rewards them with even more, as opposed to the third servant who buries his gift and hands it back intact to his master upon his return. Now, when mulling over the conversation we had during our worship meeting about rusty voices, I guess I had never really thought about the effect on the talent that was buried, only the servant's response to receiving the talent. And the question I asked myself was, what happens when you bury something in the ground? Now, I did a bit of research into buried treasure and found that if you bury something away in the ground for long enough, something happens to it. Depending on the material it is made of, it may go rusty, it may corrode, but it will almost certainly tarnish. What's interesting is that with iron and steel, when subjected to oxidation, rust will form, and it will soon begin to eat away at the surface of the object. When an artifact is buried in the ground long enough, very little oxygen reaches it. That's why some items that are over 200 years old can actually be found in good condition. However, once an iron relic has been recovered, the rusting process soon begins because of the moisture it has been subjected to in the damp ground over the years and the oxygen in the air that now affects it. Copper will corrode over time, no matter what the circumstances of burying it, and it takes an acidic cleaner to remove the corrosion. Now, going back to our parable, we don't know how long the master was away for, and this talent that the servant buried in the ground was probably not there long enough for any real corrosion to affect it. However, it would still have been muddy when dug up and would have needed serious cleaning. Now, I want you to use your imaginations this morning, and I'd like you to close your eyes and think about something that you own that is really special to you. Perhaps a gift from someone. Now, I want you to imagine burying it in the garden and leaving it there, let's say for the length of this pandemic. When at the end you dig it back up, in what condition do you expect to find it? Will it still be in pristine condition? Will it be clean? Will it have started to decay? Will you be able to bring it back to its original condition? Now, that will depend on what the item is made of, but certainly it will take some effort to remove all the caked mud and dirt. It will probably never be the same as it once was. Now, keep your eyes closed and imagine looking at that buried item that you have just recovered from the ground. Is it still as precious to you in the condition it is now in? Do you wish you had never buried it in the first place? Do you have the heart to spend time cleaning it, subjecting it to any specialist techniques needed to try and get it back to what it once was? Can you afford specialist help? How would you feel if the person who bought you the gift found out that you had buried it in the ground? You can open your eyes now. And going back to our story of the talents, this parable teaches us that this would not be the best use of looking after our talents, those gifts that God has given us to use in order to extend his kingdom. I want you to think about the talents that God has given you. Each of you will have a unique gift that God has given only to you to use. What do you think will happen to it if you bury it away and don't use it? We're going to try and answer that question by looking at the story of this third servant in our parable. And there are three points I want to bring out this morning. First one, the servant with the one talent didn't realize what he had. He only saw what he didn't have, and that became his focus. He saw that the other two servants had been given more than him, and maybe he felt that he was not worth being given any more than the basic. That one talent could have been the thing that would have tipped the scales when it came to kingdom work. What if he had combined his talent with the one who had five? Then maybe working together, they could have seen even greater growth and return. But by burying his talent and not seeing the bigger picture, he was blind to what God could have used him for. Some people bury their talent because they feel inferior to people with more talents. How often have you thought, "Why don't you ask someone else? I'm sure they'll do a better job." People see someone else who seems multi-talented and it makes them feel worthless. Or they become intimidated by the talents of others. The reality is that even if you think your gift is less valuable than someone else's, that's no excuse for refusal to engage in kingdom activity. Everyone is entrusted with gifts that, when invested in the kingdom, will bring a return. People don't often see the true value of their talent. Your talent is precious to God, or he wouldn't have given it you. I'm certain he didn't give it to you to hide it away. There are people who need you to step out in faith and use your talent for the Lord. Don't be one of those people who don't make their talent known. Don't bury it deep away and then use the excuse that no one really needs you anyway. You have to put your talent out there for it to become a blessing to others. Let me ask you a question. If God showed you all those people he wanted to bless by using your gift, but couldn't because you had hidden it away, how would that make you feel? Would you feel you'd let them down? Would you feel guilty and ashamed? Point two, the servant with the one talent didn't take time to know the master. It becomes obvious from his response. The servant given 1,000 said, "Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last penny." Was the master really that harsh? Or was this only the perception of the servant who had never spent enough time with the master to know his heart? Obviously, there was an expectation for the servant to be engaged in kingdom business. The servant had been given resources but refused to use them. He tried to lay the blame for his own lack of effort on the master, refusing to take responsibility for his own inaction. Failure to use our resources gives witness to the fact that we probably haven't put in the effort to know the master. I think it's interesting to note that the master says to the servant, "If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least?" Sometimes when we claim to know God, he says to us, "If you know, then why don't you?" As you contemplate the gifts that God has given you, are you using them so that God gets the best of them? Or are you so scared of doing nothing that you are doing nothing with them? It's one thing to say we know God, but the fruit of this should be to do what he asks of us. If we fail to do this, can we truly claim to know God? Insecurity about being rejected will bury more talents than anything else. Most people are so fearful about being rejected, they won't step out with God. And Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." This servant didn't please his master, and surely this is an indication of how God feels when we do not use the gifts that he has given us. One thing is certain, God chose specific gifts for each of us. He knows us so intimately that he is the best person to understand what we're good at and what we can be good at. However, he doesn't give us our gifts and then leave us to work out how to use them on our own. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be our guide. Surely that means that he is there 100% of the time, leading, guiding, instructing, helping. We never need to feel that we are incapable of using our talents for God. If you don't use your talent, it will be taken away and given to another. God will actually take away the talent that you have and give it to someone else who will use it correctly. The reason I chose the Message version for this story was that then this one phrase stood out for me. Take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into utter darkness. Get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. God is a patient God, but he won't tolerate inaction on our part. He expects something of us and will not wait around forever for us to realise that. Giftings have to be used to stay in the condition God gives them to us. Don't wait for him to take it away from you. Don't play it safe. Don't end up forever wishing you had stepped out in faith in the first place when it's too late. If we go back to our example about rusty voices, if not used, then they will certainly deteriorate. Before it gets to the point where they can never be used again, it takes a lot of hard work and effort to bring them back into the condition that gives us the freedom to worship. Surely it is better not to allow them to deteriorate in the first place. And our third point, the servant with the one talent didn't see the opportunity to engage in kingdom activity. It becomes obvious from this parable that Jesus intends us to be actively engaged in kingdom business, whether he is around or not. We are provided with resources to do the work, and we are to use them to their fullest. Participating in the kingdom, representing the master in all that we say and do, all of this is expected from every one of us. No one is to stand around idly waiting for the day of Jesus' return. The master wants to find us busy using the resources we have been provided with. The reality is that God has more resources than we can ever imagine. And when we are faithful in kingdom service, what little we have can be multiplied in miraculous ways. There are kingdom expectations, and that means taking on the responsibility and utilizing the resources that have already been provided to us. God can't multiply you until you are faithful in what he has already given you. Most multi-talented people started out with just a few talents, but as they gave them faithfully to God, they were expanded, increased, and multiplied. And so, in summary this morning, 1, God invests in people. 2, God gives talents according to our ability. And 3, God will take away what isn't being used. Everyone in this story was given a talent suitable for them to use. You have been given talents that God specifically wants you to use. He didn't give you your talents just for your benefit, but he gave you them to be a blessing for his kingdom. The third servant let fear hold him back from doing something with what he had been given. He buried them and suffered the consequences. Let's not bury our talents because we're afraid to use them. Let's trust God to have our back when we're out there and throw ourselves wholeheartedly into working for his kingdom. For that's the best way to keep our talents in the best possible condition.